Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
You know, guys, I guess I say this about every book. I love God's Word, and I love especially 1 Samuel. I love David's life. As a young Christian, I can remember as a young Christian being 20 years old, learning about God and about the things of God, and just being really enthralled with the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And when you look at David, I'll be honest with you, he's not a perfect man. Does everybody realize that? I think we should know that, right? Because when you get to 2 Samuel, there's things like he and Bathsheba. There's things like the census that takes place at the end of 2 Samuel. David's not a perfect man, but he has a heart after God. But David also illustrates the reality of life. Because here's somebody who has been anointed to be king over Israel. And, you know, he's anointed as basically a teenager. He doesn't become king over Israel until he's 40. 40. So what happens in between there? A whole lot of problems. A whole lot of difficulties. He's got somebody who's really out to kill him, his father-in-law. His father-in-law is basically irate, angry at him, jealous of him, and wants to kill him. And so we're up to chapter 24 where we see that Saul is trying to wipe David out. But God has, it's almost amazing sometimes that when you got people who are after you, God sometimes puts them in your hands. You know what I mean by that? He sometimes puts you in a situation where you have to decide what you're going to do with him. But the reality is that if somebody's coming after you and they're out to hurt you, what is your natural reaction? You want to hurt them back, right? You're like, I don't get mad, I get even. You ever heard that statement? I mean, that's how a lot of us live by. You know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And that's a natural human reaction. And if somebody's trying to hurt you, your thought is how do I hurt them back so they leave me alone? How do I get back at them for the pain that they've caused me? And we're going to see, folks, that that actually is faith's biggest test. You know, you and I are tested in our faith daily. We say my biggest faith test is seeing God provide for me in an area where I need him to provide, or seeing God heal in an area where I need him to heal. Yeah, those are tests, but that's not your biggest test. Your biggest test is how you react to the person who's trying to hurt you. When that person is placed in your hands and you have the opportunity to take vengeance, you have the opportunity to do what you want to do and get back at them. That's faith's biggest test. Because faith is calling you to what? Leave them in God's hands. Let God take care of them. And we're going to see that today from David's life. We're going to see that here from David and hopefully learn some things. Let's talk about this, though, our natural tendency. I've got a couple things I want to point out to you for here. Hopefully you got a bulletin and you can fill this out in the back, but there's a couple things I want to point out here. Number one, when we are hurt, we feel we must take measures into our own hands. When we are hurt, we feel we must take measures into our own hands. Have you ever noticed that? You're in a situation, stuff's happening to you, nobody else seems to get it. Nobody else seems to understand the pain of the situation you're in. Nobody seems to understand what that person is doing to you. In fact, sometimes it seems like nobody cares. Have you ever noticed that? That you're going through abuse, you're going through slander, you're going through turmoil because of somebody else, and nobody cares. You're the only one who's carrying it, and so what happens is our natural tendency is to say, I've got to take measures into my own hands. Because nobody else is going to help me. Nobody else cares. Nobody even thinks it's a problem. And so our natural tendency when we're hurt is that we feel we must take measures into our own hands. Isn't that what we do? Or am I the only one like that? Is that a George problem? I think that's a human problem, right? You know, at least I feel like I'm normal now. I'm like, wow, man, you know, when I wrote this, I thought I was am I the only one here? No, we're all like that, right? We want to get back at people who hurt us. That's a natural human instinct. Have you ever noticed that human instincts go on for years? They get passed on from generation to generation. People wanting to take vengeance for something that happened long ago because we feel like we've got to take measures into our own hands. Here's the second thing I want you to see. We fail to see that not taking vengeance is a test of our faith. We don't see that. Remember I told you that this is your biggest faith test? And you're like, no, it isn't. My biggest faith test is trusting God to provide for this need. My biggest faith test is seeing Him bring healing in this person's life. My biggest faith test is seeing Him save my loved one. No, no, no. Your biggest faith test, folks, is you not taking vengeance. Because God told you not to take vengeance, and that God told you that vengeance is mine. Well, you know what? I don't know that I believe that, George, because if I don't do this and I wait on God, it may never happen. That's because we're looking for the immediate. And God sees things in the long term. And God's going to hold everyone to account in His timetable. Do you understand? But the problem is we don't see this as a test of faith. I'm here to tell you today, folks, it's the biggest test of faith you're going to have. When you've got somebody in your hands and you can get back at them for what they've done to you, choosing not to do it because you're going to trust God to handle it, that's a big faith test, isn't it? And that's what we're going to see today from David's life. And hopefully we can learn some lessons here. So let's look at this. First of all, let's look at the opportunity. We're going to see the opportunity is given for David to act. We're going to look at that in the first four verses. Look with me at chapter 24. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told to him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, and there was a cave. And Saul went to attend to his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hands, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Let me tell you what's happening here. You know, as we were traveling here just recently, we traveled yesterday. It's really great because I remember back as a kid growing up in the South. Remember an interstate being built. And before that interstate was being built, you had to travel down the U.S. highways, which were typically two-lane roads. You remember that? Before there was the interstate, you had to travel down the two-lane roads. And as a kid, you're always having to go to the bathroom. Have you noticed that? And back there in those days, there weren't no rest areas. Did you know what I'm saying? There weren't no rest areas. And so typically, Dad had to pull over and let you out to run off into the woods to do your what? Business. Right? How many of you know that? Because our kids don't even, they're like, where's that rest area? There was a time when there was no rest area. Okay? Like we were driving the other day and Hudson says, look, there's that That doesn't have any bathrooms. That's an old rest area on a two-lane road. That's what it used to be like. Same thing's happening here. Saul, he gets word David's in the wilderness of En-Gedi, so he gets 3,000 soldiers, goes after him. As he's going along the way, nature calls. He's got to do business. So he sees some caves, and he happens to go into the caves in the rocks of the goat, as the area was called. And in the cave are David and his men in the recesses of the cave. Now here, this is a pretty awkward situation, isn't it? And so guess what happens? David's got his chance. I mean, Saul is in a vulnerable position, right? Literally. And David goes up and cuts off the corner of his robe. Now, just so you understand, folks, Saul's not wearing that robe. He had to take the robe off to do whatever he had to do. And so David goes up and cuts off a corner of his robe. And so I want to tell you something here about the opportunity, because this is where you and I are at. Because it will happen. One day, the person who hurt you will find himself in a situation with you where you can take your vengeance. And the question is, will you? You ever thought about that? I mean, if you've really been hurt by someone, you probably have thought, you know, if I had my chance, this is what I would do. Well, David gets that chance. Listen, a couple things here about the opportunity. Number one, opportunities for vengeance will present themselves. They will. Opportunities for vengeance will present themselves. You know, I'm 53 years old. I can think of numerous times through the years when I have been in situations where somebody has hurt me, and then later on down the road, I find that they are dependent on me doing something, and I could choose not to do it. And it would hurt them. They'll present themselves. At the most, it's not like you're looking for it either. It's like, boom, think about it. David's in the cave. They're hiding. Do they really think King Saul's going to go in there? No. Guess what? He walks in by himself.